you too. Before we leave, I would like to chat with you about an idea.
I like ideas.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Look at the beautiful.
See what you got.
Look at the beautiful mountain scene Kelly's sitting behind.
About the idea, but I'm not.
Is he in Montana?
Yeah. He's looking out his back window.
Deal. Yeah.
I know you too well. If you want me to chat with you about it.
Are we all going to Summit on Thursday?
I'll be there.
I am.
You are? You are? Okay.
My husband is coming too.
Good.
Very good.
He has no choice. So
that's
he'll be
good. Mine's working, or I would drag him.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife, she's like, no. She doesn't let anything to do that stuff. She's like, I'm just
stay
in the background.
Sometimes he gets volunteered for these things. I'm already directing him to an auction Saturday that he has to do. He'd probably be like,
Gwen called me on last Friday. And like they had some galloping for the rotary, and she couldn't make it because she got sick.
Did you go?
No, I couldn't. Well, she called me at like 3 o'clock, and it was at 5:30. Mm-hmm. And so I asked my wife, she's like, I can't get ready in that amount of time. I don't know what to wear.
Right.
And then so we couldn't make it. And I was in the middle of.
Did you have a gavel before?
Oh. The wipers went out, but I'm feeling kind of frisky.
Oh, okay. All right.
You got to replace the switch. I did all
that
stuff.
Handy,
I put it in my office.
It's in the electric. So they sent me a fuse box. So I ordered one of those. So hopefully it'll be here this week, and I'll replace that. And then if it doesn't, well, I don't know how the wipers are on it right now. So it's just, we luckily have an extra car because we got a car for my daughter. So she's been driving my daughter's car.
Okay.
But if that doesn't fix it,
we got more to say here.
16 again this month.
Thank you. Right? 49 the other
day. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, so if that doesn't fix it, we'll be trading it.
How about a little food, but nothing bad?
Wipers are enough to trade it in. Can't you take it in and help them do it?
$1,400.
Or anything too.
It's an 07.
Yeah.
It's about time.
But that's good.
But it's
how many miles did you pay on it?
Well, it has 220,000, but the motor got rebuilt like 88 something. So it has like 120, 130 something.
That's good though.
Yeah, and my wife, like, she doesn't ever want a new car. She's like, I love it. It drives fine, and it's kind of like our family get around vehicle.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. That was like, I had a Infiniti, and I loved it. And I'm just driving this sucker till like, bombed all bad of it.
That's like my truck.
And I never had any problems with it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden,
there you go.
The transmission, and they won't even rebuild the
transmission. Like there's one somewhere.
Like so many cars.
Exactly, there's got to be. I can't imagine.
I was working on that.
Not working near that. So I was like, okay, well, I guess.
We're a new vehicle.
And then I drove my husband's truck. You probably saw me in a truck like yours for almost 3 months. Because I was like,
great.
I have no clue what I want. I wasn't anticipating getting a new car, so I have no idea what I want.
That's what my wife said right now. She's like, I don't want to be rushed into something. I don't know what I want. So
she'll be driving your daughter's car. Finally, my husband was like, you need to get a car.
I know. My truck's a 07, and I bought it new in 07. And it's getting to the point now where I'm having to, do some repairs. Last year, I replaced about 5 parts in the motor, and it's still going good.
I feel like those American-made trucks just run.
I can still work on it. Like, I can still get to everything and do stuff. And not, it's computerized. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
The new ones are just like, they're like,
yep.
You got to be certified with a computer.
We've talked about keeping my
Hang
on to it.
That was our plan with the Tahoe. We're in the Tahoe because we were going to get our daughter. So then my daughter was like, Tahoe is a little too big for us. So we're going to get her a little smaller car. But my youngest daughter, who's going to be 14, she really wants my truck.
Okay.
But now that her sister got a kind of a newer car, she's going to want a newer car. It's pretty bad when your kids have nicer cars than you.
Get those parents.
Yeah. We good?
All right, let's bring the city council meeting for March 11th, 2025 to order. I do want to inform the public of our disclaimer stating that the city of Bonny Lake uses machine-assisted live closed captioning. As such, we are unable to guarantee the accuracy, reliability, or performance of this service, nor the limitations provided by this service. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Mayor Carter.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Swatman.
Present.
Councilmember Baldwin.
Here.
Councilmember Davis.
Present.
Councilmember Fullerton. Councilmember Hubler. Councilmember McClymonds.
Here.
And Councilmember Rock.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Swatman.
Make a motion to excuse Councilmember Hubler and Councilmember Fullerton from this evening's council meeting.
Seconded. First and a second. All those in favor of excusing those council members, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Very good. Thank you. All right. I have been asked to remove item G, AB 25-12, from the consent agenda and to table it for a future council meeting after the closed session on April 1st, 2025. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
A second. Motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Great. Thank you. All right. Seeing there's no public hearing, we will go on to citizen comments. This is your time to address the council on city business. For those attending virtually, please click the raise hand icon at the top of your screen if you would like to address the council. Anyone with the raised hand icon or who called in, your mics and cameras will be enabled. You will need to turn on your video and microphones on your end if you are wanting to be seen or heard. We will start with those who are here in person and move to the virtual comments afterwards. You have 5 minutes. When the timer goes off, that is your signal that the 5 minutes is up. State your name, if you would like, and your address for the record, please. Both of those, if you would like.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Got out of order.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Catherine Ford. I live at 18214 77th Street East in Bonny Lake, and I'm here to give you an update on our appeal for the tree permit, the gardenia plat, and that was denied before we even were able to meet with the hearing examiner. And I'll read you something that the city wrote. The city requested appellant's entire legal argument be stricken from the record on a mere technicality that appellants did not identify the particular code provisions violated with sufficient precision in their notice of appeal. So once we had a better idea what was going on, we hired an attorney. So our attorney was better able to represent us with the legalities and precision, and the city denied that because apparently in order for us to be heard, all the details had to be submitted with the initial appeal. How would we as citizens know that? So the city sided with Caliber and requested extraordinary relief against its own citizens who filed the appeal requesting to have their concerns heard and addressed by their own municipal government. Yet the city made the same argument as a developer that said concern should be dismissed because an unrepresented appellant failed to include comprehensive code interpretation theories in their notice of appeal. So we were never heard. We were never given a right to really share our opinions. And also found this to be a violation of the development review process by BLCM 1470-10, which is to balance the public-private interests which permit developments and provide a desirable, stable environment in harmony with the surrounding area. And before even going to how we feel we were denied our rights, I had a friend who is a geospecialist at Google Maps do an analysis of the canopy based on the reports that were done in 2011 and 2019 by the city using the exact same methodology and sources. And our canopy in 2023 is down to 16.96%, which is far below the 34 to 38% that the city says that they want. Cutting down 5 acres of trees does not attribute to the city's goals. And so in this comment period that my neighbors went through, both hearing examiner processes and appeal processes, we really feel the concern and opinions of the public were never truly heard, acknowledged, nor addressed. And I leave this process feeling betrayed. In the meantime, the city is actively destroying our air, water, soil, and quality of life by ruthlessly cutting down our trees and forests for the sake of development and money. You know, and once they're cut down, it's going to be impossible to maintain the quality of life with the long-term effects of the Lake Bonney's current land use policies. So we really need to pay attention. We really need to wake up to what's going on in our city. And now I want to cite some of the things that we wanted to present to the hearing examiner. One, there's a tree credit violation. So the tree retention plan claimed that they're in their calculation of tree credits, some of them were not even on their property. Tree 33, 95, 96, and 101 were not even on Gardenia Platte, and yet they got credit for it. And there were also trees straddling the Sunderland property, 87 and 94, which were included in their tree credits. And you can see I included pictures of these trees. And Quinn Sunderland provided 5 pages of comments during the initial comment period, and he was never heard back from the city. No one ever responded to him. And some of his comments were, I have trees straddling. Are you going to save my trees? What are you going to do? How do I know my trees are going to be protected? So he went and built a fence. So you can see on one of the pictures that there's a copy of a tree that's straddling his property. He put a big sign around it like, don't cut this tree, it's on my property. And he never heard from the developer nor the city. And that is supposed to be part of our tree preservation policies. And we brought that up in our appeal, and so doesn't matter. Our needs are not addressed nor listened to because of a technicality. Are we upset? Absolutely. Do we have a right to be upset? Yes. Another violation of the tree permit was the peripheral trees were never fully addressed, and Jason's going to talk to this as well. So the permit did not comply with Bonney Lake Municipal Code 1664.090, and that's the protection measures during construction and after, particularly about the critical root zone of trees, and that is the limbs come out, that's what they consider the critical root zone. You cannot destroy them. And the critical root protection is essential to keep the peripheral trees alive and the trees that are protected within the development. Thank you. One more thing. If you'd like to see information on how that analysis was done by Google Maps, I will send it in the email. It's all the specifics are in the appendices that they followed the exact methodology that Jason had used.
Thank you.
Now I'm going to turn this over to my colleague.
Thank you, Kathy.
The permit does not comply with BLMC 16.64.90, protection measures during construction, particularly about the critical root zone. Off-site trees containing drip lines that encroach onto the site under construction shall be considered protected trees. B7, root protection. If trenching occurs within a protected tree's root zone, no more than 20% of its root system may be damaged. Findings by both hearing examiners and transcripts from the city are violating BLMC when they stated that 50% of root system could be damaged with construction. There's a map in the handout. The plan from Caliber, Sherry Green, Assistant Project Manager, May 1, 2024, never addressed trees on the peripheral properties. Off-site trees containing drip lines that encroach onto the site under construction shall be considered protected trees. Like Catherine said, in the pictures on the Stevens property, there are pictures where you can see the trees that Caliber counted are on neighbors' properties. Off-site trees containing drip lines that encroach onto the site under construction shall be considered protected trees. Root protection. If trenching occurs within a protected tree's root zone, no more than 20% of its root system may be damaged. This tree's drip line extends far onto the proposed road. The permit never addressed this issue and compliance with BLMC 166490.
Is there anything else, Catherine, you'd like to say? Can you stop the trees? Go ahead.
I walked the property with Catherine, and it's a tragedy what you guys are allowing this small lot and a huge development on it. I mean, we're not against change. We're not against development. We're against being bullied, taking neighbors' property an inch, 2 inches, just so that they can have this construction. You know, it's not right. The neighbors have lived there, and the property has had these homes for a long time. And now this developer wants to come in and take a few inches here and a few inches there so that he can squeeze these homes onto this plot of land. It's just not right, and we feel bullied, and we don't feel like anybody's on our side or anybody's taking care of us. Some strangers coming in, I mean, and getting his way, and then they'll be gone. They'll come in, they'll destroy the property, change the neighborhood. For what? I don't understand.
Could we get your name so we can respond to you later?
I sent an email. I didn't.
Oh, you did? Okay.
But I'm Cheryl Robertson.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't know if you saw Catherine's information is here too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kelly Stevens. I live at 7602 Myers Road. I highlighted on the map for you guys kind of where we're talking about as far as what we think needs to be considered, and it's not in the current tree cutting permit. So our property is just north of the proposed road, and you can see the critical root zones that my husband has surrounded. We measured all of our trees. We have absolutely massive trees on our property, you guys, and they butt right up against this forest. So we are extremely concerned that this construction of compacting with the road, and then they want to, I mean, you can see, they want to put a house, like, right next to our property where we have massive, massive trees, and critical roots are going to go into that foundation. Our concern, I mean, like it was mentioned, we're not opposed to development, but we keep asking for a more reasonable development and a safer one, because our biggest concern is that we have massive windstorms. You guys know that. In 2020, a windstorm took down a tree, hit a transformer, and we had a forest fire. So we're concerned that with trees along that road being taken down, that the wind barrier is going to be affected for our trees, and then you're, you know, destroying the whole wind barrier completely with the 5 acres. But the next big windstorm that comes down, and then you're just hurting our roots, we're so concerned that our trees are just going to fall over on these new houses that are 5 feet off our property. I mean, it's insane to us. Like, we can't believe that we keep being told by the city that this is to code, this is to code. But we are shocked that the code is allowing this unsafe situation. There's actually the big tree kind of in the middle of our property. You can see it's going to be really affected by the road. We are going to take that tree down if this whole thing goes through, because there's no way we feel safe leaving that tree with it so close to our house. So there are going to be other trees affected by this too. We are planning to keep as many trees as possible, but again, we are just so concerned that this is not safe, and we're like begging you guys to please help, like, because the city won't listen. The hearing, we were all sitting on the call waiting for this hearing to start, and we're texting each other like, what's going on? Why hasn't the hearing started? Are you guys having issues, technical issues? And then we find out, like, very last minute, they're like, oh, no, we dismissed your case, which was just so rude to us. We're like, oh, my God. So it's just constantly, we just feel like nobody in the city wants to hear us. Because kind of like Catherine said, as soon as we got a lawyer, it seemed like, you know, oh, shut this down. We also thought it was really interesting. My husband made that map that I gave you, and we also sent photos of our large trees and stuff to our lawyer. And the very next day, lo and behold, the owners came out and were, like, walking the property. And so we were like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Like, maybe we ruffled some feathers because we were showing that, you know, this isn't good. You know, you're seriously playing fire here. And that's one of our biggest concerns. Again, we're not opposed to development. We just wanted something that fit more with the neighborhood, less houses, safer with the trees nearby, for trees to be considered in the code. We do think maybe codes going forward. I said this the last time I was up here, that this is a unique property covered, surrounded by houses. It's not farmland, you know, out nowhere. It's not a forest out in the middle of nowhere. It's surrounded by homes. So maybe code needs to include like 20 feet into somebody else's property, take account for any large trees or property that could be damaged by the development. That's really what we're asking you guys for your help. Like, just make this safe. You know what I mean? Make sure that a tree isn't going to fall down on somebody's house. I mean, seems like a reasonable request. Anyways, that's really all I have. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hello. Mine's a different subject. I wanted them all to go through. My name is Mike Yastramski. I'll spell it for the record, Yestramski. I'm here. I'm a social worker at Western State Hospital. I'm here to talk about Rainier School in Buckley, and specifically some stuff going around with that would impact this community. Quite a few of the workers at Rainier School live in Bonnie Lake. There is a bill being heard Thursday at 4 p.m., Senate Bill 5393 in Olympia that seeks to close Rainier School, lay off 800-some workers, and put 200-some very cognitively and medically disabled folks out of their homes, and in some cases the only home that they've ever known. So both from a human aspect and from, you know, an economic aspect, this is very devastating. We've heard folks say that, you know, given the budget crisis, this is what needs to happen. Data has shown that that actually would not save money, that it would actually have a net recessionary effect and make the economic situation worse. So I'm just here to kind of raise that issue, make sure that you all are aware of that, and then we're making an ask that, you know, folks can go in and sign in on a pro or a con against that bill, and we're asking anybody who's willing to do so to sign in con against that bill and to help us make sure that that does not go anywhere, because again, the disabled residents of the state need that continuity of care that they've been getting, and this short-sighted bad policy, if enacted, again, would have both economic and ethical and moral impacts to this community and the surrounding communities. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. For those that don't know me, my name is Erin Muskie, and I'm the senior librarian at the Bonnie Lake Library, which is right across the parking lot here. I'm here to just share a few updates about the library. I like to keep our city government and our residents informed about what's going on. So I'd like to highlight a couple of upcoming programs just for awareness. One thing that we do regularly that you may or may not know about is offer a tech time assistance program at the Bonnie Lake Senior Center once per month. And that is an opportunity for our senior citizens to come in and get one-on-one technology assistance with whatever needs they might have. A lot of times that is with a device or a phone. So our adult services librarian, Patrick, he's our tech whiz, and he will set up appointments with any seniors who are interested in doing that. We do that program on the first Tuesday of every month in the afternoon from 1 to 2:30. So our next upcoming time will be on Tuesday, April 1st, but that is a monthly program happening every month. In April, I know we have a lot of gardeners in our community, so we're doing a couple of special gardening programs as kind of a fun theme as we look forward to spring. The first one will be a special family story time that we're actually doing out at the community garden. That's going to be on Tuesday, April 8th from 10:30 until noon, and that will include a tour of the garden, a story time for all the children and families who attend, and then a special planting activity for the kids to get involved in planting a bit. For our teens and adults, we are offering an introduction to composting program with the Pierce County Planning and Works Department. That program is going to be on Saturday, April 19th from 10:30 to 12:30. And I'm always promoting all these programs, and I know it's a lot of dates and details. I do want to mention that all of our programs can be found on our website. It's mypcls.org, and there's an events section where you can search for all of our programs. The last specific program I wanted to mention, every once in a while, we have a library-wide partnership with Tacoma Pro Bono. They offer free drop-in legal assistance at pop-ups across the library system. So we have one coming up in our area. It's going to be Wednesday, April 2nd from 2 to 4 p.m. And at those sessions, it's a drop-in session, so there's no need to register or sign up in advance. You can just drop in, and the lawyers who are present offer assistance with basic legal questions, a lot of family law. If there's eviction prevention assistance that they can offer, that's another topic that they'll touch on as well. And finally, I wanted to highlight the art display, the rotating community art display that we have in the library. We have a really cool display up right now, which is from students at Bonnie Lake High School. They had their annual district-wide art show back on February 22nd. And so right now we have award-winning art from Bonnie Lake High School students who won awards at that art show hanging up, and the talent is incredible. As a person who draws stick figures, it is amazing to see what these kids can do. So that art display rotates throughout the year. We have art from students, we have art from seniors, we have art from all sorts of artists in the community. I'm really excited that at the end of this year, we are going to be featuring an inaugural display of art from City of Bonnie Lake staff members, and I really have to extend my thanks to Candace for actually helping me arrange that. So I'm just going to bookmark that. If you are artistic and all and you'd like to participate in that, please drop me a line or speak to Candace about that. I'm really excited to see what our city staff members will come up with. And that is my update. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else for the good of the order? Okay. We'll now start those that are virtual. You have 5 minutes. State your name, and if you would like your address for the record, please. Are they trying? No? All right, the city will now disable all video and microphones for those attending virtually. We have one correspondence, Madam Clerk.
The city clerk's office received an email that was shared prior to the meeting a couple weeks ago with the mayor and council from Susie Ryan on behalf of Representative McIntyre regarding House Bill 1512.
Okay. Next is committee reports. Finance Committee, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Finance Committee met this evening, March 11th, 5 p.m., second floor, always open to the public. We had Councilmember McClymans and Councilmember Baldwin. Thank you for filling in and made our committee full this evening. We also had a couple of issues with personnel update from Brian Sandler. Notable things in there would be, of course, that somebody is going ahead and moving up to the regular parks employee. There was we were a limited time employee, but they're a regular slot now. And I guess an exceptional officer hire, too, is occurring, too, which is great. I was supposedly starting on April 16th. We were able to attract quality candidates. You know, they want to come to Bonnie Lake. I think that's important. Love that. Thanks, Chief. Seasonal openings will begin apparently around May and June time period. So if you know folks that are looking for some seasonal work, they're usually like college kids or something like that that need some hours in the May-June time period. They can start to look at the city website to see what's available out there. We'll move along to the TPAR update, which is our next item, which is your Tyler Parks and Rec, which is your web-based online reservation. And the parks folks in Jason's department's been doing a great job getting that all online now. So if you want to rent a baseball field or a picnic shelter or even maybe a community garden slot, they're available out there to try to deal with directly online, which is a great thing to have that done. Thanks, Jason and your group for getting that done for us. Discussion items, action items, of course, the 2024 Ford F-150 police responder vehicles that they had just a gigantic delay, got into all that stuff with the Ford plant and the COVID and all that stuff way back when, so they were all delayed and got moved around and Ford was not able to supply them. They were able to actually work a deal out internally where the people that they were buying them from, they were able to get the old price, so the staff was able to save us a bunch of money picking them up. But there's a budgetary move because they didn't spend the money in the old biannual budget, so that it wasn't allocated in the new biannual budget. So that's why you see this particular item, Resolution 25-10, to make sure that that new budget is available to complete the outfitting of those vehicles that are ready for us. They're ready to go. Motion also item was the retirement plan that the staff is talking about. It's apparently a 457 plan that's available. It's a vast majority of the employees, and there's going to be more discussion internally with the employees because it's just for their benefit. This Cap Trust financial advisor company that's been identified could be a positive for the employees to help them manage that fund, that's the city fund. So we requested that they have more internal discussions and then come back to the committee and make sure that, you know, because it's their money, it's not something the city's going to have to really contribute to, but we wanted to make sure that the people using the plan were going to be happy with it. Also, Resolution 25-19, which is out-of-state travel for Sherry Ryerson, our chief financial officer. She, I guess, is going to pay for her own flight, apparently, even, so she's trying to minimize the cost for that. It's a financial conference, of course, in Washington, D.C., and we authorize that to move forward. Our committee open discussion this evening was to deal with an issue where I think you may or may not be aware of the Labor of Love Triathlon. It's coordinated with Chamber of Commerce every year. It's a great event. It's actually during the Labor. It's Memorial Day. Yeah, big event for all the sports folks. There's a person that's trying to run that event now and may want to get into more of a direct agreement with the city or something, but there's still the mayor and those folks are going to have to work out internally with what they want to do with that proposal to bring it forward. So it may come individually, you know, and be less associated with the Chamber of Commerce or more. They have to figure all those issues out with that. But that will be not until 2026. So, you know, it's great that they're looking forward and looking way out there because those things are important for long periods of time. And that was our items this evening.
Great. All right. Thank you. Community Development Committee, please. Who's giving that one?
I'm going to give that one.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor. So the Community Development Committee met on March 4th. Jason Sullivan and Public Works Department presented a proposal for purchasing new 70 horsepower pumps for lift station 17. As that lift station handles 90% of the capacity, of our sewer. It's critical that those are working. The department's done a great job of trying to maintain the pumps as they are, and hold. Hello, I'm talking. Okay, so, and then the other item that was on the agenda that night was the approval for the to commit to pursue the design funding for the roundabout at Angeline Road. I think staff has done a great job on this and laying out how we will proceed with this project and secure funding and work with Pierce County Regional Council and get federal support for this money. And so this was another key win for the city. That's all I have.
Great, thank you. Public Safety Committee, please.
Yes, hello. We met today, and the next meeting is the second Tuesday on April 8th, so the public is absolutely welcome to come. Coincidentally enough, Citizens Academy is occurring right now, which I have been able to attend, and I highly recommend the public to do it. Unfortunately, it's not until next year. It is annual, so it's kind of a bummer. Anywho, so Bonnie Lake Police Department right now, we're seeing a decline with crime. In January, we did see that the DUIs look low, but emphasis patrols were going on at that time, and so multiple agencies combined to process them, so it looks low, but there were certainly more probably DUIs than what appeared in the stats. Also, for East Pier Fire and Rescue, Station 111 is beginning to be filled by firefighters. Westlake Taps in Tahale, it will be open in about 1 to 2 months, and they may not be in the city, but will be able to service and assist. And they have 8 recruits midway through academy right now. They are looking at doing a ribbon cutting ceremony sometime in a Saturday in May. They don't know yet, but they will announce it on social media. We have an agenda bill coming through on consent, and the police officers' portable radios are about 15 years old. Mobile radios in their cars are about 20 years old. And we know that technology, if it's that old, they're too old for replacement parts. So they were able to do a 5-year lock-in purchase price where we would still get 2025 pricing 5 years from now. And this was already budgeted since this purchase was planned for previously. So it was already good to go. We also have another thing coming down the pipeline, which I think is really cool. They have been thinking of, the city has been thinking of better ways to use our budgeted money for security. And I'm not talking about police officers. I'm talking about the security people at Allen York Park that maybe they're clicking to count people. They might do boat trailer checking. They'll do capacity alerts, but unfortunately, they're not always consistent either with who's going to show up on what day or who's available. So there isn't really a common thread of what we really want for our city and things like that. So not only that, but it averages between $44 and $66 an hour. And so they came up with the plan with all these cons in place to change to park ambassadors instead. And so with the amount of money that's normally funneling in to provide security, again, not police officers because they will still have a presence there. But if they change to park ambassadors, then they would hire 4 to 5 seasonal laborers where they would actually be there 7 days a week. And then when they're not needed, they can be used to do other types of park duties like the maintenance of kiosk signs at the park, which are actually the informational boards, believe it or not. They're called kiosks. Anywho, so they'll be able to do more and not waste citizen money. The other thing also is that park ambassadors will just have a higher level of service. We're going to train them to be able to help people with the mobile app or a location of things, or, you know, there's just going to be more that they're going to be able to do. So that's going to be coming down the pipeline for us to discuss, and I'll probably say the whole spiel again at that time. Right now they've been getting together in regards to Allen York Park. Well, actually they have been weekly. They have safety briefings weekly, but they got together to assess the pros and cons of the plan.
and how things have been working at Allen York Park and things like that. So they are finalizing a document, and then they'll bring it to public safety again for us to review and say, you know, yay or nay and things like that. Let's see here. Council will be briefed next week, I think, on the 18th at the workshop on season passes and how to deal with the paid parking and some of the field rentals. So we're going to be talking about that as well. Just as a side notation, Councilmember Davis has been pushing to kind of move forward the Ball Field 5 playground, the one that was purchased 7 years ago. And so the staff has been working to try to see if there's a way that we can just go ahead and get that installed, and that's the empty gravel area next to Ball Field 5, also that people who watch their kids play can also have their little kids play at a playground, which I really appreciated as a mom. And then we had some citizens come and report. They normally report to us, and they're part of different voters, social media platforms communicating with the public, but they spoke with Cascade Water Alliance. They're hoping for an April 1st date to start flowing water into the lake. And sometime in April, they should reach the recreational levels. And then boating permits are still purchased through the police department. And I think I got all of it. I think.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't see any other reports. However, I will throw out the Community for Families Community Summit is on Thursday. It's happening at Calvary Community Church. I think it starts at 4. Door is open for registration. And then 4 to 5 is Key Community Leaders Cafe. 5 to 6 is breakout sessions. And then 6:15 to 8:15 is dinner and presentations and whatnot. There's also a hygiene drive in relation to the Community for Families Summit. It's kind of the hill versus the valley. The valley is doing quite well, and so we need to up our game a little bit. Everybody. So yeah, we'll look to do that. I'm going to go to the store tonight after council and get some items. I don't want to lose again. That's all I have on that. We now move on to the consent agenda. Is there a motion to adopt?
As amended.
As amended. Thank you.
So moved.
So moved. Second.
Okay. All in favor of adopting the consent agenda as
cemented.
Changed, improvised, whatever. Say aye.
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 Aye. Is opposed? Great. Thank you. We do have a full council issue. Item A, Madam Clerk.
This is item A, which is ordinance D25-09. The council motion would be to amend sections 12.16.010, 12.16.020, and 12.20.050 of the Bonnie Lake Municipal Code, and adding sections 12.16.040 and 12.32.050 to the Bonnie Lake Municipal Code to amend the enforcement provisions for chapters 12.16, 12.20, and 12.32 of the Bonnie Lake Municipal Code, amending sections 12.20.010, 12.20.020, 12.20.030, B, and 12.20.040 of the Bonnie Lake Municipal Code to update the name of the city's engineering design standards providing for severability and corrections and establishing an effective date. Thank you, Jason.
Nice and short. any discussion?
Well, can we need a first motion and second?
Oh, sorry. Yes, you're right. Is there a motion?
Who wants to try?
Anyone?
Motion.
Motion. Good. Is there a second? Okay. Any discussion?
Can we get a brief?
Yeah. Can you?
Kelly's up there too.
So this had gone to CDC. I was trying to pull up the packet real quick.
It looks like Kelly wants to talk.
Maybe yeah, it went to this. Yeah, well, Councilman Clemens, do you want to go first, and then I can fill in after you?
Certainly, we can do that while you look for the packet. So this, one of the key things in this agenda bill has that it's moving penalties over to the code enforcement. And we already approved something similar to this with the waste enforcing people who aren't paying for their trash. That this pattern of moving things out of violations, writing a violation to code enforcement, is, you know, it makes me nervous. It sounds better, but I'm not sure if the council has had a robust discussion about this topic and what the value is. You know, when we look at the entirety of this, because, you know, it could be that these things will continue to come to us. And I think that it would be good to have a workshop session where the council talks about what makes sense to be enforced through the code and as a penalty, or what is a civil infraction that we write up with like a law enforcement officer. I may have goofed that up a little bit, Jason, but I mean, that's kind of my big concern here.
Yeah, so,
I'm done.
Yeah, so what we've been doing is we've been going through our code to see if there's a better way to do enforcement of our different development standards throughout the city. Knowing that, you know, police time is limited, knowing court time is limited, and knowing that everything needs to be a misdemeanor. So currently, if someone commits a violation in Chapters 1216 or 1220, the only enforcement provision is to charge them with a misdemeanor crime in the courts. There's no other recourse. So there's no opportunity for voluntary compliance. There's no opportunity for correction agreements. There's no opportunity to work to lose that. It's simply you are now guilty. You would be charged with a misdemeanor. We felt for enforcement of development standards that is probably going too far, straight to a criminal charge. So what we've proposed is to move it to enforcement through our code enforcement process. What our code enforcement process starts, it starts with a letter informing the property owner, hey, be aware, you know, there's depending on the severity of it, there's two ways that letter could go. Letter one is a courtesy notice, hey, just be aware, you know, this is a violation, you need to come in and get the permits or need what you need to do in order to correct those that change, you know. The other one is a notice of violation, which still says, hey, this is a violation. You have 30 days to fix it. If you need more time, you can request a work plan, which gives you 6 months, or a voluntary correction agreement, which gives you a negotiated time beyond 6 months to complete that improvement. And that also doesn't move us to civil penalties or civil fines, because really, as I've explained before in the past, the goal of code enforcement isn't fines or tickets or violations. The goal of code enforcement is to find ways to voluntarily work with property owners to bring properties into compliance, and that's exactly what's laid out in the code enforcement chapter. The other part is these chapters that we're dealing with are when people are putting obstructions in our right-of-way, when people are doing work in the city's right-of-way, which creates liability for the city. So if somebody puts a retaining wall that's in the right-of-way, not the road, but the right-of-way, and a car hits it, the city can be potentially on the hook for some of those damages because that improvement is within our right-of-way. And so there is a desire to make sure that when people are putting improvements in the right-of-way, that area that's owned by the city, that they follow the appropriate processes in our code, get the appropriate permits. We have the insurance agreements to allow that to stay. And so instead of working with people to say, hey, this is, you need to fix this or we're going to charge you with a misdemeanor, just kind of sets the wrong tone from that voluntary compliance. So we're wanting to move it to the code enforcement chapter, which gives us that kind of tiered approach that, hey, let's work with you until we can't, until we have to, you know, do fines or other code enforcement mechanisms. On the larger issue of code enforcement, We're always open for a conversation of the code enforcement title. We'll gladly bring that to a workshop if that's what the council desires. But the way that the code enforcement chapter is laid out, it lays out all of the penalties, and then it makes you walk through certain steps in order before you get to that final penalty. The other option is if you live it the way it is, we would have to, if someone built something in the right-of-way, I'd have to call Mark or Chief Barry and have Chief Barry send out one of his officers to begin the criminal investigation to charge them with a misdemeanor. We just don't think that that's, A, the tone the city wants to set to work with people to resolve these things, which is why we're proposing to move them to the code enforcement chapter so we have a more voluntary work way of approaching these types of violations.
Did that answer your question, Councilmember McClymans?
Yeah, he was in CDC. He's heard it before.
Oh, that's true. Okay, very good. Councilmember Baldwin, did you have something?
Yeah, the tiered levels of enforcement that you were talking about, letter and next, is that laid out in another part of the document?
It's not in this document. It's in Title 14130.
Okay, but it is laid out in some sort of code.
It's laid out in the code. And okay. So in the, and we walked through this with the CDC. It specifically says that your first step in code enforcement is to obtain voluntary compliance. It's actually referenced two parts in the chapter. You have to send a notice of violation before you can move on to any other things. You have to try to get voluntary compliance before you can even move to a notice of civil penalty. It specifically provides for the six-month work plan and the VCA. And the whole purpose at the beginning of the title, I think it's the purpose statement or the next one down, specifically talks about the goal of code enforcement is voluntary compliance.
Continue, please.
Kelly, does this, or Councilmember McClymans, sorry, Councilmember J. Kelly McClymans, with what Jason is saying, does this give you pause still? Like, what I'm curious to know what it is exactly that concerns you.
You know, with Jason and the current staff, I don't think I'm too concerned. My concern is that if you look at section, I think we should monitor this situation. I just am trying to bring this up to the council. We put it on the full agenda so that we could have a discussion for this. And then the thing is that when you look at 14130, the penalty section, they can charge up to $1,000 a day for infractions, and then it's still a misdemeanor, right? So we're going to do all this good stuff to try to get voluntary compliance, but then after that, we can crush the citizens fairly quickly, right? And that's kind of my concern.
I get that. Councilmember Baldwin?
Thank you. That is the reason why I asked, are the tiered levels and where is it? Because we are looking at this document. I don't see it. There is no 14 anything. It stops at 13, section 13. And so if what he's saying is, because I'm assuming you guys have been sitting in meetings and things like that, that would give me pause as well. And so I think since tonight we were technically supposed to be having a discussion on this, I would have assumed that that section would have been in here, but it's not.
We didn't include all of 14130 because it's not being amended. It's the municipal code that's online. And so we didn't include the entire chapter 130. What I would recommend or propose is to move this ordinance forward so that we can remove misdemeanor as the only penalty. As Councilmember McClymans said, is yes, there are other penalties in the code enforcement chapter which, and I've told this to Councilmember McClymans, you're absolutely correct. If you don't have good staff that are trying to work with people to solve problems, things can be mishandled, and that's with every code. What I would propose then is move this forward so that we have the tools to voluntarily work with people now, because we don't with the current code structure, and then bring the entire 14130 to both CDC and public safety so that both committees can fully read those chapters and propose any modification or amendments or clarifying language to ensure that the way we're implementing it stays the way we're implementing it, regardless of who is sitting either in my chair or the city administrator's chair. That would be kind of my way of moving forward with it, which would be consistent, I think, with Councilmember Kleinman's kind of monitoring it as we move forward. And that would allow, we could bring that to the next public safety and the next CDC. If it's just a copy of the current legislation, we can bring that forward and have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Baldwin?
I do see, it was just sent to us, thank you, 14.130, and then it has tons of sections. So what's, I don't want you to send me something to public safety that is pages and pages and pages and pages and pages. I need to know what it is that we need to be looking at specifically.
I think the things that you would want to look at specifically to begin with, to address Councilmember McClyman's questions,
yes,
would be one around the section that lists all of the potential penalties, because it just lists them. It doesn't talk about any criteria. When we apply those criteria. So one of the things that I talked with Councilmember McClyman's about at CDC was you could add that a misdemeanor charge could only be sought by code enforcement if it was approved by the mayor's office, right? There's things, that more checks and balances that you could put in there. So I wouldn't bring you pages and pages. I think the place to start would be point 100, and I think the up in the top there's another one, like 030 or
030.
Yeah, 030.
Those penalties.
That lists all the penalties just in order, and then we can bring the fine section to that. So those would be the two biggest sections. The other ones are what do we put in a notice of violation? What do we put in a notice of civil penalty? How do we do service? So those really aren't, I think, to Councilmember Kleinman's concerns. I think it's the 030, the list of penalties, the 100 section, and then the civil penalty section about what the amount of the civil penalty is. And the council could scale that. There's lots of different options. I will say one thing that we do that's different than almost every city is most cities, once they go out and notice a violation, it's $1,000 a day until it's resolved, right? So if it takes you 2 years, it's 2 years times $1,000. We thought that was crazy for a lot of reasons. And so the only way our civil penalties work is the code enforcement officer has to physically go back out to the field and document that the violation still exists, because someone might have remedied it by removing it without talking to us. And so that's something that we did to try to explain that. We could do that better in the code, and we could also set up more criteria for when you move from step A to step B to step C. And I'm glad to work with CDC and the Public Safety Committee to put more guardrails and safety around that, so that the council has more confidence that the way that we're implementing the program stays the way that the program is implemented, regardless of who's running those functions. But I'd still recommend moving this forward, because it does solve the problem now, and then I will bring that to CDC next week. Councilmember Kleinman's, I'll get it spun up and get it to CDC, and then I'll bring it to public safety at the next public safety meeting. Take the council's feedback, and then if we need to try, as we craft legislation, run those back through those two committees.
Councilor Baldwin.
Thank you for explaining all of that. I will just comment that, as you know, Bonnie Lake does not operate like other cities, so I do appreciate your comment on that, though. I guess my question then becomes, because we're dealing with pages and pages and pages here, even just aside from what you had mentioned, just based on what Councilmember McClyman's concern is, I know that you pointed out maybe two sections and spots, right? But I guess the main thing, and I've talked to you about this before, I don't want government overstepping boundaries and things like that. And so I wonder if there are other areas in the section that we would also give pause to.
I think the only other section that you would want, because we do code enforcement on a prioritization matrix, so
yeah,
we don't go out and look for every violation. So
mm-hmm.
Certain violations we are proactive on when there's a life, safety, health concern, or when it's to protect city property. Other violations are only if the code enforcement officer drives by and sees it. Until there's a request for action, they don't do anything. And so that's kind of spelled out in a general section in the code, which lays out the priorities, and I don't have the code right in front of me. I think it's 050, It says we do code enforcement based on a prioritization, and it lists those broad categories. We have broken that down into every single violation that we have in the city and assigned it basically on those priorities. And every time we come to public safety with our code enforcement report, that matrix is attached. We can bring that matrix back through CDC and city council and either A, adopt that by resolution, or, you know, I'll have to talk to the city administration, but that would be another way where the council is looking at the actual prioritization and what we're doing for each of those priorities. So if somebody is, for example, someone is building a fence, the fence doesn't meet the sign code. Our code enforcement officers are not out there looking for that. Now, if a property owner responds to us, hey, someone's got a fence that doesn't meet code, we will go out and take a look at it and start from there, because we've received a request from a citizen to specifically look at that issue. Now, if somebody is building a house without building permits, then we are much more proactive because there's a direct life safety concern there that we are trying to stop or deal with. I shouldn't say stop, but to address. And so it depends on that prioritization. So to answer your question fully, Councilmember Baldwin, I think if you were to take a look at the things that matter to the, I shouldn't say the things that matter to council, the things that are going to drive how code enforcement does their day-to-day activity, it would be the list of penalties, which is one section, and maybe that 100, or maybe we can combine that to clean up the code. The amount of the civil penalty, how those are enforced, and then the last one would be that prioritization, to make sure that the way we're doing our prioritization is consistent with the council. And if the council wanted to have more input on that, you could adopt that by resolution. This is the prioritization, which means staff could not easily change it without first talking to the city council. So that I think that would get to the heart of Councilmember Kleiman's concerns and to your concerns, Councilmember Baldwin.
That's 040G.
Thank you.
So I think those would get, like I said, those would get to the heart, I think, of that larger issue of, for lack of a better word, of government kind of coming down on the citizens in an uncontrolled way. Those are really the sideboards that drive that code enforcement process.
Yeah, I would say that right now it is $1,000 for each day the violation has been documented by the city. C, and then D, any violation of this title shall constitute a misdemeanor. So this is an effort by the city to provide more flexibility in dealing with the homeowner on that issue. But yeah, I think Deputy Mayor Swatman wanted to say something.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So my concern revolves around, you know, just what we've talked about before, the ease at which property owners can be, you know, fined, basically, right? So currently, right now, and I don't know where the problem, what's the main problem, you know, because if we take one specifically, like a road approach kind of an issue, right? One of my favorite issues, of course, because there is like so many of those in the city of Bonnie Lake that you would need a small police force to even try to like look at half of them that are even there, right? But I also realize that the property owner is not causing any harm by, you know, having their driveway too wide or using a different driveway or something like that, right? You know, but it's a definite code violation. It's an outright 100% code violation. They've like filled the drainage ditch or whatever they've done, but they might be on the top of the hill. So where do you, you know, how does that become, you know, the neighbor's like, hey, you know, Bob, I don't like Bob, your drainage ditch, you filled it, you live on the top of the hill, I got a thing into the city has to go do something about that.
So Deputy Mayor Swatman, in those cases, under the current code, you would have very little remedy other than to move forward with the criminal charges, which is what we're trying to correct. Notwithstanding the concerns, which I understand and can, you know, completely understand what the council's trying to get, they want to make sure that as the code enforcement are going throughout their day-to-day business, that they're operating kind of within the policy framework set by the council. Totally support that, and we'll work with the council to better clarify that policy framework. Under the proposed legislation, we would first reach out to the property owner, you know, either probably with a courtesy letter, because this isn't an immediate life safety issue, and say, did you know that a right-of-way permit was required and these are the standards for road approaches? work with the property owner either to bring them into compliance or find a time when they can come into compliance. Because the other thing that we realize is, and this is the reason I'm not the biggest, like, let's go fine people, is because the money that people pay for fines is the money they're going to use to fix the violation. And so, as I said in the beginning, the goal of code enforcement is to get compliance, not to issue fines or to issue charges. It's to get things fixed. And so in that case, we would reach out and say, hey, did you know this needs to be corrected? And then talk to the property owner and say, hey, if we give you 6 months, will that be sufficient time to get it fixed? That gives them time to do what they need to do. We have the VCA process, which can give them more time. Sure. And then we don't move on to those other steps until that's done.
Yeah.
And I think to address both your concern about how fast we move from step to step is getting back to those things that I mentioned, bringing through both CDC mm-hmm. and public safety. So, A, the prioritization is correct, and council understands how things are being prioritized, and that's consistent with council policy. Bringing forth the amendments to possibly the penalty section about, A, when we move from step A to step B. Like I said, for example, if you want to file a misdemeanor, you have to get approval from the city attorney and the mayor's office. So then you've got a double check balance versus it just being done at the staff level. Mm-hmm. You could also create a scale for your civil penalties. So it starts out low and it ramps up as people refuse to work with the city. There's lots of things that I think you could do to institute kind of what the vision I think I'm seeing from the council on how to implement these things. And I think, as I said, if I get the nod from Councilmember McClymans or from Councilmember Rock, I can have this on the agenda for next week with those sections. And then Councilmember Baldwin, as the chair of Public Safety, I committed to bringing it to you at the next Public Safety, just with those sections as they're currently written and our notes and comments from talking with CDC, so that then Public Safety can weigh in on those issues and we can begin to amend the code in a way that's more reflective of the council policy and how council wants us to move forward with these types of non-criminal types of investigation and issues that range from very serious to very minor. I was talking with the mayor today about one where a property owner has been cleaning for years because the entire backyard is full of trash. And so we've had ones where people have had 6 feet of trash piled up against their fence. And the homeowners are calling us because when they step out in their backyard, all they smell is rotting garbage. So,
to be clear, I'm speaking about that house. That was a house that I took down a meth lab, not me myself, but the police department took down a meth lab. I was on that one at that house, and it was a compound, right? And so there's differing degrees of how bad a place can get, and of a 1 to 10, this was a 10. And it was put up by the health department. I've had Jason reach out and talk to them, like, how do people back in this place? And there's been a whole bunch of stuff going on with it, but it's back to a 10. And that's why we got a complaint from neighbors going, hey, this is, you know, there's crazy stuff going on at this house. And eventually they need to come into compliance. We have worked with them and provided a dumpster, you know, at the city's expense so they can, and they filled it. And it doesn't look like they filled anything basically by the house. So there are places that need enforcement and we need to be able to work with them. So I would just throw that out there, and that we want to be as helpful as we can to get properties cleaned up, you know, as easily as possible. At the same time, eventually we have to do something. Mm-hmm. So.
And I think that's the big challenge is when we talk about code enforcement, sometimes we focus on the little small ones that we really aren't going to spend a lot of city efforts on, and not the really big ones where we're having drug overdoses or the homeowners are calling us because they don't have sewer and they're just dumping their waste in their backyard. So there's a very big range of what code enforcement does. And so that's why I think working through the prioritization, working through the penalties, that will help put more laser focus onto those bigger issues that I think the council would want us to spend our time on, while maybe not spending as much time on kind of smaller issues. But then council would have that assurance by the way it's written, not just the way I'm implementing the program based on the guidance that's in the code. Mm-hmm.
Any further? Oh, Deputy Mayor Swatman.
So is it possible to make the effective date of this ordinance to become effective after we modify that code? Is it the section 14 or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever yes, section you were talking 14.
About? 14.130, and then there's a bunch in there.
Madam Clerk.
I mean, we could push out the effective date for 60 days, and that would give us time to go back and circle with the council, with each of the committees, and
that would be helpful to me because I think, you know, I'm really concerned or not understanding the philosophy of the code enforcement because, like you rightly point out, there's some that absolutely need to be dealt with, and then there's a bunch of series of others with fences and whatever that are just kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, we gotta noodle how to do that because they can be an issue, or, you know, it's a nuance there, so, mm-hmm. yeah.
And I will say they do a good job of that.
Yeah.
Go over here for right now. Councilmember Rock?
That's something I think I would like clarification on, is the priority matrix. What's being prioritized? Like if a neighbor calls something in, for the example that he gave, you know, is that being looked into right away? So, and that's not even something that we have to talk about tonight, but something presented to CDC so that we can have that conversation to navigate how you guys are looking into things.
Yeah, and we're, like I said, we're totally fine bringing that forward and having those conversations and talking about when we do proactive code enforcement and we don't do proactive code enforcement and the things that are on the list and adopting that by resolution. I wouldn't want to put it in the code, but adopting it by resolution, it sets the, which is what a resolution does, it sets the policy. And so we have that policy for the prioritization mm-hmm. And then do the other stuff in the code to clean up the other issues.
Mm-hmm. All right, Councilor Baldwin.
I propose something different. I think instead of waiting 60 days, because really the what he has here is beneficial to citizens, you know, and in 60 days a lot can, I think, happen. And so I think we should just push forward to go ahead and get this part changed that people, that the only option isn't just a misdemeanor. That's kind of what we're talking about anyway, is we don't want the citizens to, you know, just be hammered or whatever. But also proposing that we do need to have that those codes come with eyes on them. And also, I will say this again, not everybody has your mindset. And so we're not protecting them from you. We're protecting them from future government. So we need this to be worded properly.
Thank you. And I hope to be here a long time, but I understand yeah. I understand your concerns. Not everybody yeah. would look at it necessarily the same way I do. And so having more words, unfortunately, helps to provide that clarity.
And by the way, like, I'm not talking about the Jenny's meth lab down the street. I'm talking about, you know, not Jenny's meth lab down the street. Yeah.
Okay, any other discussion? Okay. All in favor of Ordinance D25-09, say aye.
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 As opposed? All right. There's no executive session or closed session, so seeing no more business, we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
I have a question. What is going on with this? Like, for real.
My next question was just going to be put on. The question is just not.